Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Quest for Gold. We're just 2 days away from the opening ceremonies in Milano Cortina. The first competitions are already getting underway. All right, let's start with the latest from Lindsey Vonn. The comeback has always seemed improbable for the 41-year-old, but the skiing icon has now taken that to a new level.
Last Friday in Crans-Montana, in the last World Cup, I completely ruptured my ACL. I also have bone bruising, which is a common injury when you tear your ACL, plus meniscal damage, which we're not sure if that was pre-existing or from the crash. But we have been doing extensive therapy, been consulting with doctors, been in the gym, and today I went skiing. And considering how my knee feels, it feels stable, I feel strong. My knee is not swollen, and with the help of a knee brace, I am confident that I can compete on Sunday. So this is not obviously what I had hoped for. I've been working really hard to come into these games in a much different position. I know what my chances were before the crash, and I know my chances aren't the same as it stands today, but I know there's still a chance. And as long as there's a chance, I will try. So that's where I am.
While Lindsey's in Italy, one longtime Olympian who was looking for her sixth Olympic Games is not. Skeleton racer Katie Ulander lost her appeal to be reinstated to the Games after failing to meet the required points needed. You may remember she was in line to qualify, but the Canadian team pulled athletes from the Lake Placid competition, leading to the loss in qualifying points. An investigation determined that the Canadian team intentionally acted in a way to put their athletes in a better place, in spite of Ulander's positioning. But there is no punishment leveled, and Ulander's appeal failed to get her qualified. The 232 American athletes are in Italy, getting settled into their Olympic villages. They've got their gear, they've got their rooms, they're scattered across the country. Before the cauldron's lit, we're already seeing some skiing training, some men's luge singles and mixed doubles curling. And we've got women's hockey at the Santa Giulia Ice Hockey Arena. Construction there is complete. The scoreboard is in. The paint is dried. And after much concern about its completion, it's ready for hockey. Sweden versus Germany first, then Italy versus France. But we're all interested in Team USA as it kicks off its quest for gold against Czechia Thursday at 4:40 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:40 Central. Of course, on everyone's mind, getting revenge on Canada. The last 4 years have been about beating Canada for this team. Team USA Women's Hockey has been thinking about this tournament since walking away with silver in Beijing. And if the lead-up to Italy has been any indication, they are ready. In the rivalry matches, Team USA outscored the Canadians 24-7 over a four-game sweep, including a 10-4 thumping in the third game. Not a shocker, Hillary Knight is a captain. This is her fifth Olympics. She's got three silvers and one gold. That came in 2018. She's gunning for her second in what will be her last Olympics. We had a chance to catch up with her a few weeks ago in New York.
The gold or bust attitude, is that something that you guys plan to carry in here? And is that the best way to go about a tournament like this?
I think whenever we sign up to play for Team USA, it's to win a gold medal. And that mindset hasn't changed. And obviously, if you can get on a podium, if you can get to the Olympics first, that's a cherishable moment in itself. If you can get on a podium, that's a huge honor. And then if you can win a gold medal, it's equal an honor. And, I think we have such a fantastic team. I want our legacy to be cemented on that world stage. And I want people to know the names that are in the room. And part of that is winning a gold medal. And for all the hard work we put in, I think we're capable of doing it.
Got any trash talk you want us to get out? We could end it out, swears, if you want.
Yeah, I don't want to give any poster board material. Yeah. I know better. I know better, because I would post it in ours, so.
And Kendall Coyne Schofield has two silvers and a gold. She'd like to take down the red and whites. We had a chance to talk with her in New York as well.
All right, what inspires you on this cycle? What motivates you?
There's a lot. I think just you know, coming up short in 2022, and the overall experience in 2022 was challenging in itself. And I think leaving 22, so unsatisfied in so many ways. I was inspired, to get back here. You know, I think I was also inspired to want to start a family, and know that that wasn't going to get in the way of my dream to get back, to the Olympic Games. It was only going to support it and enhance it and the most magnificent way possible. You know, and I just think I look at the growth of the women's game, even since from my first Olympic Games in 2014 until now, and it's been exponential. And, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, what happens after these games. And to be a small part of that growth and just to live through that growth has been, you know, one of the greatest things that I've been able to be a part of in the sport. So I think there's a lot of things inspiring me. That have inspired me to get back to this point, and ultimately win a gold medal. I think that's at the end of the day, that's the goal and the task at hand, and that's the focal point.
Can you elaborate a little bit on how that Olympics inspired you to start a family?
It wasn't necessarily the Olympic Games that inspired me. It was more so, like I said, I left there dissatisfied and you know wanting to come back for more, but I knew at the same time, we were ready to start a family. And so I knew one wasn't going to get in the way of the other. They were merely going to support each other, that we were ready to start a family. And at the same time, I was ready to put in the work it was going to take to come back to playing hockey at the highest level.
And let's think about the team at Beijing. There were a lot of different coaches that had come in and out, I think, just before that Olympics. And it felt that there was a lot of like gritty play. You're almost kind of willing the parts together. Do you feel that in this now closing out this the new cycle that you've been able to refine those rougher edges that we saw in Beijing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a little bit of it was a byproduct of the environment that we were in, you know, whether it was video sessions from home and not all being in the same room until we got to the Olympic Games, because we had D in one room, goalies in another, forwards in another, and like practicing with a mask on, not really being able to communicate effectively, and just emotionally, there were a lot of factors I think that played a role in what you described. But I do think, you know, looking over these past 3 years, I know I was gone for a little bit of the one, but I think we're really sharp in our habits, our details, you know, the way that Coach Robo likes to watch film and the detail within each film session has made us better and sharper on the ice. And I think at the end of the day, when it comes to Milan, it's going to be, you know, you books are down, you go out and you play and you execute, because we're going to be ready. We've put in the work, not just since August when we got together as a group of 30, but over the last 3 years, everyone that's been in and everyone that is, you know, whether it's a world championship or a camp, who's ever on that team is going to be ready.
It's the nature of the rivalry of Canada changed in all WHL, just players being on the same team, you know, is it a little friendlier because you see each other?
No, I don't think it's friendlier and by any means. I will say I've gotten to know, some of the players more. Obviously last year I played with, Sophie Jakes and Claire Thompson. I'm like, dang, I really like you. You guys are awesome. But then of course, you know, you put on your nation's colors and all bets are off, and, you know, it's competitive as it gets. I think it's the greatest rivalry in all sports, but I think there's no denying that, you know, the two countries have definitely come together to leave our mark in the sport and to leave the game better than when we found it. And it's taken all of us to unite and come together. And I think when you look at how hard the game is, I think that part of it was easy to come together, because we were able to look at each other and be like, guys, we need to change this, like, now. And so, but I don't think it's changed necessarily the rivalry. We just have gotten to know the players better within a professional landscape.
Over the past decade, close to the three cycles now, four that you've been in Olympic cycles, what's the spiciest moment of the rivalry that stands out in your mind?
Ooh. Or two? Three?
Oh, there was a game in Burlington, Vermont. Someone help me refresh.
I think it was that was doing
before. Yes, before Sochi. Thank goodness I was on the bench, but like a legit fight broke out. And there were like, I mean, there were fights. I think Kelly Stack had a black eye, like through her helmet, her cage. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful I'm on the ice. They're not on the ice. Of course, you want to help your teammate, but I would not have been much of a help in that scenario.
You're not a fight?
No, I'm a lover, not a fighter. But I think that one was crazy. I think the ratings went up for our next game, to say the
YouTube somewhere.
It's not friendly around for on the ice, but you feel some kinship with those players just for what this generation, like the rivalry has been over the year for fans?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you talk to some of the players who have come before us, they would say, oh, we never even get in the elevator with them. And it's like, okay, well, there's two elevators and we have places to be, things to do, you know, kind of thing. But at the same time, like I said, as soon as you put on your nation colors and your jersey, like, you don't care who you're playing against. You're trying to get out there and accomplish a goal, and that's to win a gold medal. And it doesn't matter who we're playing on a given night. It's like, we're focused on us, focused on, you know, the way we play and you know, what we want to do and what we want to accomplish.
Arias, how important is it that the press to Bangor National League rises its level and what will, and that you have UHL playing that?
Oh, it's extremely important. And the gap is closing. I mean, you look back to Beijing, it was 1-0 going into the second period against the Czechs. It might have been even the third period. So I could, but it was, I mean, it ended up being a 2-1 or 3-1 hockey game in the quarterfinals in Beijing. And, you know, you look at the 2019 Worlds, it was us in Finland in the gold medal game. You know, so the gap is closing. I think the role that the PWHL is going to play is going to be a big one. I think, you know, especially after this cycle, I think you'll start seeing players come over here and say, I want to play with the best. I know I need to play with the best in order to be the best. And, you know, recognizing like, hey, the best players are playing professionally in North America. I want to make my way over there. And I think having all the best players under one roof is only going to elevate the game in a way that is going to close the gap among countries. And hopefully too, when, you know, players come to North America, they play in the PWHL, and they go back to whatever country it is that they're playing for, they're able to explain the resources and the support and that they have playing in the PWHL, and that gets replicated internationally. I think you see Czechia rise, and the reason they've risen is because they've put resources behind their program. It's there's no secret formula here. It's right. Give the players the tools they need to be successful, and they will be successful. And so I think that's, you know, we're able to do that professionally, and now it's replicating that internationally throughout all the federations, and you'll see that gap close real quick.
Win a gold medal, these are very results driven. Is it hard to be process driven over these next 3 months to get to that point? You know what I mean? When you're focused so much on the end goal, you know, you've got a lot of steps between now and that.
I think it were entirely process driven. Yes, the outcome is a gold medal, but you don't get there without a process. And the process is every day. The Olympics aren't every 4 years, they're every day. And I think, you know, the process didn't just start in August when we got together as a group of 30. And obviously we're going to have to get down to 23. You know, it's what we did all summer. It's what we've done, you know, since the games closed in 2022, whether you're on that team or not on that team, it's every day. It's your habits. It's the details. You know, it's the takeaways from camp after camp of what you're doing when you're away from the team, what you're doing when you're with the team. You know, it's every day. And so it absolutely is a process, and it's embracing that process, embracing the challenges of that process. And that's what makes, you know, being at the top so sweet, is looking back and knowing that you were willing to go through the process and the journey that it took to get to hopefully a gold medal.
I know there's a lot to be said. It's not going to be Canada. It's not automatically Canada and the U.S., but if it comes to that, like, how would you describe what's at stake at these games? Like, Sochi, there was the heartbreak. Redemption in South Korea, heartbreak, you know, disappointment in Asia. What's at stake for the U.S. at these? How would you describe the stakes in these games?
I mean, it's gold or bust. I think the stakes don't change. I think, you know, the last three games I was at, you go there with the goal of winning a gold medal. And that's the stake. That's the bar. That's the bar that we've set as a program. And anything less than a gold medal is a failure.
Layla Edwards, 22-year-old University of Wisconsin defenseman, is poised to make history as the first black female U.S. hockey player at the Winter Games. And Abby Murphy could be a breakout star. She leads the NCAA in goals. This is going to be her second Olympics.
Obviously, the first one taking silver, it's a little bitter taste in your mouth. So, but going into Italy, we're all excited and can't wait to get going here pretty soon. We know exactly what it's going to take. This upcoming in Italy. So But we've been working on everything since that last game. So rivalry series, camps, and our team's just really excited, and everyone's just got to do what they got to do.
Once again, Team USA plays Czechia Thursday, Finland Saturday, Switzerland Monday, then Canada Tuesday in group play before the do-or-die playoff round begins. Some of our audio today was remastered with AI for better sound quality. It's almost time. We'll squeeze in one more quest for gold ahead of the opening ceremonies. You'll be able to hear our conversation with Jordan Stolz. I'm Ryan Burrow. We'll see you Friday.